The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake are back. I know you weren't expecting to see Blake's face tonight, everybody. Well, there it is. Survivor 49, Episode 7 recap. Will be live with me tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time with James Jones. He had a little bit of a hiccup tonight and wasn't able to get here on time. So it's going to be me and Blake. Blake making his return to the podcast for the first time in a long time. Let's get into this episode. We had the merge. We had Nate go home, get blindsided 7-4. Not only was it 6-5, Alex also voted with this majority. It was a 7-4 vote. The people left out were Sophie Bellarity, Savannah, and Rizgod. What? Okay. We are going to dive into all of this. We are going to talk about everything. We are going to talk about the fact that Jeff is bribing them with spots on 50. We are going to talk about the fact that they can't just get rid of the damn merge challenge. They have to do the same thing every year, even if they got rid of Mergatory finally. And we're going to talk about what I think was a pretty damn good episode of Survivor, though, and get into everything there is to dissect. Blake, it has been weeks, months. St. Cliffo had no reason to live. There he is. Hi, Blake, in all caps. Welcome back. How you feeling?
I'm not the star of the show, you know. It's the Savannah versus Sage show, or it's the Savannah versus these people from Yellow that you're starting to understand and meet. Or it's the Savannah versus the producers of Can We Hide Her? Because if you're telling the casuals that don't know who's coming on 50, that there's probably some people that are currently playing that could be on 50, then what's the point of hiding them now if we're even saying it on the show? And I know Jeff is saying it in a moment of, okay, there's 11 people stand before me?
Yeah, it was 11.
11 people stand before me. Will you stand before me again? It's very enticing. It's very Jeff. It's very, are you playing for the million or are you playing for greatness forever? And you're like, you should be playing for the million. Who cares about your second one if you don't get your first one correct? And I do think there's a couple things that I'll be saying a little bit negatively. I know that's going to come out of nowhere, but it's like, I feel like there's some people that maybe aren't playing the game. They're playing what they thought Survivor would be or what they think they should be doing. And then I kind of want to introduce one other layer of what would this podcast be like if it was shot like a Survivor episode?
Oh,
would we go, Phil lives in Florida and has been on this podcast for 11 years. Blake is in California.
Kansas.
and only been around for 2 years. So the dynamic is Phil owns the whole thing and Blake could ruin it at any second. Like, we know the stakes of how Survivor works. Why are you explaining how merges work? Why are you explaining how swaps work? Just have them swap. Just have them merge because it's so much more interesting. I would love for somebody to go, oh, Juwan, who's the four people you're closest to? And Juwan go, I don't know. I guess I would say it would be this. Like, it's like a horror movie. I'm closest to whoever I can outrun. And you're just like, okay, I get how Survivor works. Let's just show us how we go. Because the second half of this episode was so much better because we kind of like, we were looking at each other and staring and being like, what is going to happen?
Yeah, I think not having the full merge feast is one of the big downsides of the new era. I feel like this was a good opportunity to do it. Normally the big merge feasts lead to something pretty big or something significant. There's normally more drama there. When you watch only six people go, if your alliance isn't over there, really, from a viewing perspective, there's nothing to gain from watching that merge feast. Whereas if all 11 people are there, we saw this in Samoa. It was probably the best example of the merge other than Gabon. I think really being important when Russell is talking about who he's talking to, Natalie's working people, Mick is working people, Jason is working people, and it's how they infiltrate that alliance. Now, if they were split up 7-6, well, that doesn't work, right? So that is one of my big gripes. And I was really mad when I saw the challenge come out because then I was like, oh my God, are they about to split them up and have them go into two separate tribals? I was watching on a delay.
Thank God.
And I got negative texts from people. So I assumed that happened. So I threw out a tweet. And then all of a sudden I finally fast forward through my commercials and I get there and I said, oh shit, this isn't actually that bad. And I was okay with what they did. I just don't understand why we can't just have 11 people do a challenge, 11 people go and compete and eat the merge fees. Like, you're going to get people drunk. You're going to get drama. That's what happens. Nate had heavy pours, man. I was noticing those. Good for him. Man was getting drunk out there, although he didn't really show it. But, man, his pour was massive. Not teeny levels, but still pretty good pour. That's really, though, my only complaint from this episode. I thought that the way it shook out in the second half was very, very good. I think Savannah is going to be absolutely electric for however much longer we see her for. I don't think she's winning. I've been pretty much riding that wave of saying I do not think that Savannah is going to win this season, despite the fact that that's what everybody pretty much thinks. Blake took her 1-1 in our fantasy draft at the beginning of the year. And people,
that was my Savannah eyes, by the way.
Yeah, I see that. People were looking really into what the tribes looked like for 50, knowing she was on 50, all this stuff. I don't think she wins this season, but I think she's going to be a hell of an entertaining player for as long as we get her now. Watching, like, if you think about this, right? Let's really put in perspective what we just watched.
Thinking about it, don't worry. That's why I'm here, is to think.
What did we just put? What did we just watch tonight? We watched Sophie. Soph, which we're going to get into, Rizgod, and Savannah, the three players other than Alex who have been the biggest people on the show, confessional, screen time, minutes on air, everything, end up on the wrong side of the numbers to a group of seven that we really only know two or three of the people on, maybe four now. But that was pretty shocking to me. Now, does it set up what the story would make sense, especially with Jeff saying, I want to see people play hard, you got to go down swinging, whatever? Yeah, it does for who is on 50. It totally lines up for sure. But I was a little surprised it was Nate, although going to Tribal, I'm saying, how is this going to get spun on Steven unless it's Alex and Sage who vote that way? But there's no way Sage is voting that way. So I was a fan of this. I really was. I'm a fan of it. And this was a pretty unpredictable episode. Even if as the episode went on, you started to feel that you knew it was going to be Nate. Coming into this episode, there weren't many people who thought Nate was going to be the person going home.
Here's what I thought was going to happen in the last 10 minutes of the show. I thought Sophie B was going to use her knowledge as power to steal MC's idol, mm-hmm, and then go, okay, now we have both idols. And then the other team just go, oh crap, we're screwed. I guess we'll vote out MC or Steven. Like, I'm not going to get caught. I need to wait a minute. So I was very surprised Nate went home. I am also surprised because Nate has been playing phenomenal. I know you guys haven't seen me on a Wednesday in a while. So Nate was like the glue guy, the most glue guy that's ever glue guide of. We thought maybe, like, this is two in a row of Cedric and Nate are the two older black guys that are the strong, like, strategic guys or the first foreman of the jury. You're like, okay, not an archetype you want to be a part of if you're Nate, but you're just like, Nate was so strong, it felt like he was the right-hand man for the people that are going to be on 50. And you're like, oh, I thought Juwan would maybe have a confessional where it's like, I can't turn my back on Nate. I wish it was anybody else. Why aren't they listening to me? I guess I'll go. Like, that's where I thought all this was going. And I'm blindsided, I guess. This is one of the first merge votes in a while where it is like, I'm glad they hid this from me. Or maybe because we do have the people that are on 50, I'm blindsided because I was like, there's no way he's going home. So I was very much a, oh my gosh, this is a cool experience that's happening to me. And I think it is kind of putting us in. I'm going to go the other way of, I do think whenever Jeff says there's spots on 50, when we give the people the spots on 50, I don't think he's giving them to ninth placers. I don't think he's giving them to seventh placers. I think he's giving
Emily's clipping
places on 50 to Kyle Frazier.
Because Tiffany is there too. But you're saying, I don't think he's going to give the people in seventh and ninth spots. Yeah, he didn't give anybody in ninth, but eighth place was the cutoff. There's multiple seventh placers and multiple and one eighth placer. I just
think get ready, because every single thing we've known about 49 is who's on 50, who's on 50. And then they tell us, like, I had a crush on a Survivor player once, or oh, my biggest pet peeve is punching people. And like the other thing we know is Jeff says the merge is where it is. Hopefully you'll pay attention to the first 6 weeks because it's kind of boring and nobody cares because the merge is a bloodbath. And you're like, okay, I've heard this. Am I going to believe this? And you're like, okay, are we put on our back foot? We're going to have the Nate boot hit you guys so hard as a fan base and as a, are you paying attention to Edgic? Are you doing all this other stuff? What did you think's going to happen? And now you're on the back foot, just like Rizzo is, just like Savannah is. And now you're on team, like, how do we get out of this? Because when they do get out of this, it's 50 worthy.
Yeah, I think that they're going to get out of it for a couple of episodes. I mean, Rizgod still has his idol. That's still there, all that. I don't think they're going to win. That's all I'm saying. I don't think.
Who is winning this season if it's not Savannah or Rizzo? Go.
Steven, Jawan, Sophie Bellardi.
I would only take Sophie out of that one.
Steven, no, I think you're crazy. But then again, you thought Joe Hunter had a 98.6% chance of winning. So what do you know?
If Steven wins, kill me.
Why? Steven could easily win this season. Easily.
He's played so well, Blake. Yeah.
He's done everything right.
Okay. I think.
And everybody's saying that Jawan has no chance. I really don't understand.
Let's focus. I don't know. How do we do these recaps? Do we bounce around or we start at the beginning? Because I think Jawan played this. He's in the five Ulis, but I think Jawan had a crazy weird episode today of like, why are you not going down and hugging immediately? There was no good reason for that. And I feel like he's kind of fallen into the Cochran spot of like, you're damned if you do or damned if you don't switch. But also, when Hina gets the upper hand, are they going to keep you around? And if Uli is on the jury and it's Steven versus Jawan versus Christina at a final three, are they going to be like, Jawan, we hate you because you flipped on us? Like, yeah, maybe it's good gameplay for you, but also we're just bitter.
I think that Savannah probably would not vote for Jawan if Jawan was sitting at final three. I think she'd be pissed. But so far, the other things we've heard from people is I kind of like Jawan. There's everybody who's in the chat right now. So Jawan has no chance of winning. Jawan, like they're mocking the fact that I think this. I also thought
it's like a horror movie in this chat, isn't it? Right now.
Yeah. I also thought that with Gabler
in
43, where I said if Jesse doesn't win, it's going to be Gabler. And I got called a lot of names. The one thing I wasn't, though, was wrong. And I'm not saying that Jawan is going to win the season. But if you actually watch the season and you watch what took place tonight, Jawan and Sage were the deciding votes in tonight's vote. And Jawan was actually shown as the one with relationships with the people he was voting with. Jawan and Steven's relationship was very important. Also, Jawan was the one who stood there with the rest of the Uli tribe. The rest of the Uli tribe and was told the plan to boot Steven because they trusted him that much. He is playing a good social game. You're going to have to burn bridges. You're going to have to cut people. It's going to happen. That's the nature of Survivor. The players on this season are too big of fans to punish him for making moves on this season. Look, everybody who's in the chat saying that he's got no shot, he's not going to win. I have a 1 in 10 chance of this being right. Christina and Sophie aren't going to win, so I have a 1 in 8 chance of this being right. Okay, so you guys have a 7/8 chance of being correct. Congratulations if you pull that out.
How are you?
I'm just making the argument for him. The argument makes sense.
You're doing a take, you're doing an argument, and you end it with the disclaimer of, if I'm wrong, don't get mad at me.
That's where people are so dumb nowadays. If you say somebody has a chance to do something, they say, oh, so you think it's definitely going to happen and you know nothing. I'm not saying Jawan's the winner of the season. You asked me who could win, and I named the people, and Jawan's the one that got the reaction over here. Soph, nobody really got a reaction out of that one. And even Steven, I didn't really get a reaction. It was Jawan, and I'm just defending why I think he could win.
I'm bouncing around, but I do want to say something about Jawan. Do we hate the editors for putting the opening shot of the season as a horror movie? Does it make this a worse horror movie?
It makes it Jawan's story. So far, the season started with that and the merge started with that. It's Juwan's story.
Like, Juwan is not winning. There's no way Juwan wins, and I would bet my entire, like, everything.
Aren't you already, like, limbless from betting that Joe was going to win last season? Like, I'm pretty sure you know it's an arm or something.
Okay, so I what I want to say about that is I think this horror movie analogy makes a lot more sense at the merge, and I'm kind of annoyed that we started out with it to start the whole show and have that be a joke that went nowhere, because at final 18, who cares? It is the survival of the fittest. But like, the horror movie thing made a lot more sense. But in my mind, it's just like, is Juwan actually thinking this? Or is he like, oh, I need to bring up my horror movie thing that I brought up 14 days ago, now that it's 14 days later and we have our first thing? I hate when stuff like that takes me out of it. I don't know if it takes everyone out of it, if it takes your grandma out of it, it takes your daughter out of it. But like, for me, it is like, oh, Juwan's getting his airtime right now. Is this going to go somewhere? And I don't think usually when there's an analogy, I guess Jeff maybe jumped on it, but not many other people jumped on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they just like this whole idea of just be the last one standing, right? That's the way he described it this time. The first time it was the act one of a horror movie. I'm just going to keep this up all day here for you, Blake. The 97.
Oh, what is that? Is that?
I just don't want you to ever forget. For me, what it comes down to here is the way that it was explained this time. The first time it was, we got to set up the movie. We got to set up this, to set the stage. This one was, I just got to make sure I'm not the one getting stabbed. I'm not the one getting killed off. It's an important thing. And that's a good analogy here. Blake, you're an analogy guy. I don't know if you've ever hit the level of Juwan with this analogy. Look, there's two ways this goes, right, Blake? There's two ways this goes. Are you ready for it?
Juwan wins or Juwan loses.
Nerdy, you either get the nerdy stoner, which I don't know if Juwan's a stoner, but that's normally the guy, the last guy standing. It's not the muscular guy. It's the nerd. Have we heard that Juwan's a nerd this season? I've also heard Steven's kind of a nerd this season.
There's only 18 nerds on this season. So it could literally be anybody.
Or Blake, or the final girl. There's the final girl in horror movies. Who is the final girl on this season? Savannah. No, it's Soph, and it's bullshit that we're now calling her Soph. The person who has the biggest edit on the season, who we have been driven to follow and care about the entire season.
Sophie.
No, just got her name changed to Soph for Sophie, who we barely heard from this season. You can't be doing that to us, guys.
I literally thought it was the other way because I was like, there's no way it's this way. I know we're bouncing around. So I think the other thing of Soph versus Sophie, you're like, that doesn't make any sense because we're going to also say blue Sophie in this. Yellow Sophie, blue Sophie makes so much more sense. We would never do yellow and blue, but it is something where like, so Sophie won the individual immunity and she's like, that's for my mom. And I was like, this is hilarious because nobody cares about this person because we haven't seen her on the show at all. And it's such an emotional moment. She's like, this is so cool. My feet were burning up. I beat Steven. And I'm like, oh, I know nothing about Hina because like, I don't know if her mom is alive. I don't know if her mom is this. And I know we kind of complain of like, oh, there's too much background stuff. But it is like, if we're going to make this moment and talk about her mom, and I don't know what her mom looks like or anything, it is like, it's so much more of a cooler moment if Christina wins and does that. I know Christina wasn't even eligible for the whatchamacallit. But I just thought that was such a funny moment of like, check out this crazy immunity win. It saved her from state. And it's like, well, actually it didn't matter. We would have voted out Nate anyway. Like everything they were trying to make a moment out of that, I think was very interesting of like, I don't think the audience is going to care. And it didn't make sense story-wise either.
Mm-hmm. So let's throw this up. Cody Brayman, this is a super chat. Was this a good episode for Sophie B? Meaning polarity, spelled wrong. It's Soph, you know, all that. But was this a good episode for her? I think it was a terrible episode for her. Awful. I don't think it could have gotten any worse.
Is she not the final girl when snakes start biting everyone? Does she get bit finally?
Here's the thing too, right? So as a Lions fan, I'm gonna bring this up now because it's just been intolerable.
Is this an analogy or are you going to use like
her ass? It's an analogy. It makes sense. No, listen to this. So the Lions start off 5-2. We beat the Bucks before our bye week. Cool. And it's Super Bowl. We beat them with our backup defense. This is amazing. Then we go and lose to the Vikings and it's Brad Holmes is the worst GM of all time. This season's over. We're not serious about winning a Super Bowl. We're a disaster. The Survivor season is very much, I think, like an NFL season at this point. You're going to have good weeks and you're going to have bad weeks. So I'm saying this now. When I don't think Sophie Bellarity had a good episode tonight, I don't think she's drawing dead, though, because there's been enough good episodes for her. Right now, Christina's been a non-entity, got a lot more screen time tonight. Sophie's been a non-entity, got a lot more screen time tonight. Then you have Sage, Jawan, Savannah, Rizzo, Steven, Alex, right? Soph. Those players can all win, and I know I'm forgetting somebody, but it's like those players can all win this game. Not the first three I mentioned, but everybody. MC is who I forgot. MC I don't think is going to win either. So when you what I'm saying is Soph has a bad episode tonight. She could easily rebound next week. And also, I think she's in a better position than Rizzo or Savannah because she has the knowledge of power. So if she starts to feel that things are really getting away from her, she could take Rizzo's idol to save herself and make sure that things stay even better for her. She also has Alex, who is somebody who will work with her. And though I don't think a lot of people would want to take her to the end of the game, there's a lot of people who still kind of have a little sympathy for her. And if there's one thing I can guarantee on this season, it's that it's not going to be three Hinas sitting at the end, because if it is, this is the worst edited season in the history of the show. So we're going to get some chaos, and Soph could absolutely still win this game, despite I think this was a terrible episode for her. She's in a 7-3 minority now.
Because I think that what you just said made a lot of sense to me. There's two things that I think we need to rectify before we're done in an hour of like, why is this edit like this? Of the people that you don't know anything about jump over the crazy hurdle here and get ahead, and you're like, oh my gosh. But there's so many people right now that you're like, there's no way they can win. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did they decide to change how they edited 49? And then I think there's also the looming thought process of why would, if Sophie took Rizzo's idol with knowledge is power, Sophie would be on 50. Rizzo would be, not on 50, because you don't put people on the show who have bad things happen to them. You put people on the show that do things to others. So Tiffany. I think that's a little bit of a, do we want more Tiffany's or less Tiffany's?
I don't know what Survivor wants at this point. I don't know why they put her back on.
Of the 24. So I think that's the thing that's looming. That's maybe we need to answer by the end of the day.
Can I bring up something I think with Sophie, though, that I think could be legit? Soph. I'm calling her Sophie, okay? She's Sophie, and the other Sophie will continue to be the other
Let's
Sophie.
Let's just do Sophie B and Soph.
Sophie Bellarity, whatever. The thing with her is I could see a situation where she goes very deep on this season and does a lot and was offered 50 and physically literally could not do it because she was on the Disaster Tribe early. She's had a much rougher run on Survivor, and you're talking 2 weeks in between seasons or so. Maybe there is just a situation where here she comes. She's actually gone through the most physically. They offer it to her and she says, no, I'm satisfied with what happened. I can't go back out there right now. Keep me in mind for the future. I know 50 is a big legendary season, but if your body is at that low of a level anyway, I mean, this woman has been through the ringer in a way that Savannah and Rizzo have not and will not in the remaining days of this season.
I think you've got a Savannah train coming. I think it's so funny of this is the most I'm just going to say, I think Savannah wins. And I think this is the most in your face it will ever be because of the tribe stuff of 50. And I think we're going to be like, get on the train right now. Cause whenever Savannah, like everyone has said, Savannah is terrifying. Savannah is scary. Savannah is whatever. I think if we have a moment where it's like Savannah is, because it's a 7-3 thing right now. I don't know. It is just like, who is going to win if it's not Savannah, Rizzo, or Sophie? Like, and how does that happen? It just is something where edgic and editing magic or whatever we call it here. It's just something where why would we not talk to our winner as much as we've been talking to Rizzo, Savannah, and whatchamacallit. But I do want to say one thing. I think Nate, I think Rizzo, I think Savannah, let's go ahead and put Sophie B in there. How did they not question Sage and Jawan more about why is Shannon gone?
So
I don't understand why there wasn't a let's have a come to Jesus moment. I'm going to look you in the eye. I know Shannon was weird. She was our weird person, though. And now we have Steven, who's weird in a different way. That's not our person. And he's definitely against us when Shannon was maybe against us.
Here's
so are you against us, Jawan? Are you against us, Sage? Talk now.
No, this is I think what makes this simple is Savannah and Rizzo and Nate haven't been on a tribe with Shannon since after Jeremiah went home. So they don't know what Shannon's been like outside of their tribe for now 6 days, seven, almost a week probably at this point, right? They don't know what she's like. So they don't know if she's losing it, what she's really like, if the game was going to be too much. They always knew she was a little out there. So maybe that's what's going on. I also think what really worked in Sage and Jawan's favor and Steven's favor is that Shannon really did vote for Jawan. So they weren't really telling that massive of a lie. They were telling the truth about why Shannon went home. It was Shannon going after Jawan, and they all said, no, we got to get rid of her. Now, did she go crazy? No, that part's made up. But it fits with the story, and because all three of them were so locked in on what it was, why do Savannah or Rizgod have a reason to doubt Jawan at this point? I'm sure Jawan told them that he stacked the rock draw the one time to make sure it was going to be Nate who went over. So I'm sure that all of this has come out and they know that they're underestimating Jawan. They also underestimated Sage big time. They underestimated both of them on that original tribe. So I don't think that they could have figured out that they were lying. And also like they weren't lying.
I want to take one sentence you said, and I want to pair it with what the person said on the show. They underestimated Sage. Sage says, people have been underestimating. They don't treat me like a real player. Cut to every conversation Sage has had the first five episodes. I just pooped off a boat. I peed off of this. I put my blackheads in a jar. You're like, Sage, it's one of those things I have problems with. Of I joke too much. It's hard for me to really get, here's how I genuinely feel about you, friend I've had for 5-10 years. Oh, I never knew you felt that way. You're like a brother to me. Oh, I can't get there because I'm the jokey person all the time. It's like, Sage, you're not going to be able to convince these people at the end of the show that you are a cutthroat strategist because you spent the whole first 5 weeks being like, you know what? Don't we all piss and shit? Maybe I should pee. But like, it's something where you're like,
pee and poop.
And you're like, okay, Sage, I get it. And she wants to cut throats. It feels very Parvati in her talking. And she is making the steps to make her... I think she's in a better spot than Jawan, in my opinion. And I think she could get away with it more than Jawan. So I am wondering... And then, like, next week, it'll be like Sage gets bopped or something. But
she farted. St. Clifo says she farted tonight. Don't forget
it. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize. But it is something where you're like, Sage... Did people underestimate you or did people take you at face value? Because everything you said was crazy.
So here's the other thing that's interesting. I'm going to bring up another super chat here from Cody Brayman. Sage told Savannah that Shannon told everyone about Rizzo's idol. So Cody Brayman brings up this point. The Rizzo MC conversation about Sage telling everyone about the idol is what confuses me about this, though. Because MC had told Rizzo, Sage told everyone, right? So why do you think Savannah was so willing to believe Sage when Sage is saying Shannon did it? And why was there no second guessing? I think that's where my question more goes is, why weren't they concerned about Sage being the one who let it slip that Rizzo's idol was out there, or did they just not care at that point because they thought they had the numbers? That's what I'm confused about.
Yeah, and I think it is something where that's been a kind of a thing where it's like, I don't want to lie to you. Mm-hmm. You did find me. I'm looking for a key. And it's like, that we've had that a couple times. I don't want to lie to you. This is what's going on. So I definitely think... And I think there was a Christina tweet where people are like, are you allowed to tweet this? afterwards, it was like, oh, Shannon also told us about Rizzo's idol, like basically immediately. And it was like, huh. So they're obviously hiding that layer of like,
well, yeah, that you shouldn't be tweeting.
Shannon goes home. And so it is like, okay, because Sage told them, I guess Sage is going to win the war against Shannon. And then that happened. But I forgot the question, but I'm talking about random stuff. So it is something where you're like, okay, is MC going to work with Savannah? That's clearly a no. After that,
how did
fight
Savannah
for the keys,
try to grab those keys? That's where I love Savannah for that. I love her.
I mean,
we
haven't seen that since Heroes versus Villains episode, yeah. Gulliver's Travels, or what's the movie?
Treasure Island. That was awesome. And like, that's the kind of crazy we need here is Savannah going, hey, I'm watching you. You just told me this. I'm going to dive at that. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, I would work with you. And what is Savannah's confessional? This is where I thought, yeah, dude, Blake's doing the eyes. Her confessional is, I said to myself, okay, don't be crazy. Like, you've already been crazy here, Savannah. And that's where I have a hard time seeing how Savannah overcomes this. And if she does, more power to her. That's impressive as all hell. That's what I'm having a hard time seeing is just how she's going to come out of this.
I want to put my hand to God right now and say,
well, that means nothing from you.
If Savannah wasn't on 50, I would be like, I think Savannah's going home next week.
Of course you would. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing as the people who read the spoilers that Marianne won 42. I'm sitting there the whole first half of the season going, there's no way Marianne wins the season. All of a sudden, the chat's getting real confident that Marianne is going to win. Everybody's doing the same thing with Savannah.
But hand to God, Savannah's going home next week if she's not on 50.
Yeah.
But because she's on 50, I think it's the Savannah takes down everyone show of like, just like Natalie lost Jeremy and then worked her way to the end of San Juan del Sur, our friend Savannah is going to Natalie her way to the end of this and take no prisoners and be like, here's an idol, eat that one. Here's an immunity win, eat that one. Get everyone back. Like, I feel like she could talk to some of these people and be like, I didn't expect that from Sage. Sage is going to win. And then everyone go, we got to get out Sage.
Here's the difference, I think. Everybody in San Juan del Sur had no freaking clue what show they were on. These people know what they're doing. These people do know how to play Survivor. And look, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff coming into this final 10. I don't like this is where, again, so I'll say this. Splitting up into two teams here to run this challenge, it's dumb because just let all 11 do it and just give them all the fees. It's also dumb because I do a podcast about this and I have no idea who the five people, I don't remember who the five people who won and who the five people who weren't won. I just know that immunity was won by Sophie. That's what matters. I don't really care who she was competing.
And it wasn't a merch piece. It was a merch charcuterie board.
It was a charcuterie board. But anyway, so what I'm saying is there's so much interesting stuff here. MC has her idol. She just played it. So there's going to be another idol that's going back into play. Rizzo has his idol. Soph has her knowledge is power. And it's a 7-3 advantage, but I don't think it's over either because you do have somebody like Alex who is still out there, who's still playing the game, who could still easily go to another side. I don't see Sage ever working with Savannah, especially as RZMIO says, Savannah cutting the chicken straight on the neck, savage, and really calling them General So's and Teriyaki to Sage. But I think that there's still avenues, and that's what I'm loving. Like, this pre-merge was bad. The one thing Jeff and the team need to remember, though, because Jeff kind of said tonight, the game doesn't even, the pre-merge doesn't matter. Well, the problem is we have to watch 6 weeks of TV, Jeff. Like, you can't just be like, this part sucks. I'm not going to watch the first half of something if it's going to suck and you're going to purposely make it suck.
Imagine if you showed up the equivalent into, what's that movie, Tenet? Or Inception of like, don't watch the first hour of backstory. Just go straight in, dude. And it's like, there's going to be some cool visuals and we're going to understand some of it. But all the stuff, like, we're not going to have the movie of the year if you don't watch the exposition to start it off.
Yeah. And like, so for me, the post-merge seems like it's about to be electric. It really does. This post-merge seems like it's going to be awesome. But the pre-merge, it feels like it wasn't good. And it feels like Jeff was okay with it not being good.
Which is, Thanks, Jeff. I mean, thanks, Jeff. I want to shoot one bullet directly through the 49 cast heart real quick.
Oh, no.
One thing I don't like about the new era, Jeff goes, everybody take a look at the immunity necklace. And it's the least inspiring shark necklace design. You can literally buy this at your fourth grade trip to Bermuda. I didn't go to Bermuda in fourth grade, but some people did. The shark teeth around, and there's a shark medallion. And all the people were like, that's amazing. Oh, my God. That looks so cool. And I know it's on your season, and you want to win immunity, and it looks really cool. But I think if we ranked 49 necklaces that have been immunity necklaces on every season, I don't think the shark with the medallion in the middle that looks like one of those Dalgonas from the Squid Game, I think that gets 42nd place at best.
I don't think that the 49 cast heart is going to be that broken over you shooting them on this one. I don't think this was that big of a deal. Yeah, I think they're fine here for sure.
But when you go like, it's the coolest necklace ever. I hate you, Juwan. I hate you. Like, I think
so was, that's why you don't think Juwan can win, because he said it was a cool necklace.
Yeah, get out of here, bro. Have him make something that looks like it took longer than 10 minutes.
Here's a question. So, question for you.
Okay, I got answers.
Tonight's episode, throw the 50 shit out the window.
All right.
Who was your star of this episode?
Interesting. I think it was just as much as it has been Shannon versus Sage, the last two. I think it is Sage found a new Shannon to go after, who is Savannah. Mm-hmm. And these are the figureheads, which doesn't make sense narratively because we don't know why they're beefing, except for a quick answer of I've been underestimated and I don't like it. I do think this is Sage's merge, and she's going after this other side that is led by Savannah, is how I read all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bottoms up, as they called their alliance, which sure, which Alex isn't even a part of, trying to break the margarita curse, and you're not in bottoms up. Way to go, dude.
And you're bottoms out. Up having LGBT reference.
Yeah, well, that's
we've got some GBT like, in all? There.
But okay, anyway. I'm glad you brought it up first, Blake. But it did feel like Sage, Steven, and Juwan ran this episode. It felt like everybody else was side character. Cody Brayman had asked, was this a good episode for Alex? Alex, I didn't know where he was voting in this episode.
I
don't think
so at all. I think this was
I was shocked he voted with the majority. So that's bad for him.
I don't remember what Alex said today, but I'm not the best person to ask because he's not the person I am like, ooh.
Blake's been beefing with him in the most one-sided beef of all time.
I do want to introduce the Rizzo theory because there's one more layer of the Rizzo theory. And I have a Rizzo theory for everyone paying attention at home. I think Rizzo is going to be maybe not zero vote finalist, but a losing finalist at Final Tribal Council because his first thing wherever he did the earn your machete against Alex, he goes over and looks at Alex's puzzle and doesn't do the challenge himself. And he goes, RIZGOD, first notch in the belt. This is my survivor career. And then it's time for him to get his beware advantage. But his allies go dig up his advantage for him. And he opens up an idol that he didn't get himself and goes, RIZGOD, that's me, baby. And then there's a swap, and he gets swapped to a perfect tribe where he doesn't have to worry about playing hard because they have the majority. RIZGOD, another thing, swap. I think the other thing of him saying out loud, I've always wanted to do this. Here's my idol. I'm showing you the fish bait in front of you. It literally looks like a fish bait hook thing. It's crazy. Not a hook, fish bait. And goes, I've always wanted to do this. He could have played the idol and could have turned this game and could have made a moment for himself, but he did the illusion of it and didn't do it. I think there's going to be a lot of people going, Rizzo, I know you made it to the end, but I don't think you did as much as you think you did. I think there was the illusion of a survivor game being played with you and somebody reading his receipt like that and just nailing him.
I think the thing right here is for RizGod and for Savannah and for Sophie, the first move has been made and you weren't a part of it. You got played first. Yeah, so you're a step behind.
Go.
Yeah. So now if you start to play the game and you win this game, you're doing so, but you weren't the first one to initiate the gameplay. Rizgod's reasoning tonight was great. We heard this a lot with season 48, where they all knew Eva had the idol, so they didn't want to vote her out, or they didn't want to get her to flush the idol because they knew she had it. It's not a threat to them. So what's the point? And that's what Rizgod said tonight. I know I have it. If you're all good with me, then I'm just going to hold on to it. So he says he's going to play it. He doesn't play it. Now he still gets to keep it. That's huge. So I do think that they have the ammunition to mount a counterattack, but it's a counterattack. They got attacked. They're losing the war right now. So what battles do they have to win? And the other question is, if you're Christina, Sophie, MC, Steven, Jawan, or Sage, why would you ever want to sit at the final three with Sophie, who's the ultimate underdog, Rizgod and Savannah, who are now coming back and are the underdogs, or Alex, who's also an underdog? You don't. So how are they going to flip numbers on top of also idols and stuff? Because that's what you think about Foa Foa in Samoa. They played an idol. Or at final 13, Eric just goes home. Final 12, Eric just goes home, right? Then an idol gets played to send home Kelly Charbaugh. Then they have to flip somebody, right? You have to flip people at that point. I don't know who they're flipping here, because why would you want to go sit at the end with them?
Because you may have to, or you may get tricked, or maybe Jawan uses your bag and you finally understand what Savannah's talking about. I think that's something Jawan that
can have my bag.
That's one thing that I have seen maybe on our Discord. I'm not going to name who it is, but there's been a few people being like, I don't really like Savannah. I think she's a mean girl that picks on Jawan. And I wanted to say to this microphone, if you were using my water bottle that grants me the power of life of water, and you're using my bag, which is where the only place I can put my underwear and hope nobody goes nearby because it's going to be gross, and you're just putting sticks in there where there could be praying mantis that are poisonous or snakes or something, I would literally cuss you out. Like, you know how Arya Stark did, as I go to bed, just go, Phil, Will, Alexa, like, I would literally be like,
all of us, not
Jawan, 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 yeah. Three times, yeah. And then being like, get him out of here.
I also want to say this right now. If Savannah is a mean girl to Jawan, hell yeah, let's go. Be nasty. Be pissed off. That's what reality TV is supposed to be. I hope Savannah and Jawan aren't friends anymore. Actually, I hope they are. But you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to be on that island saying, these are my best buddies in the world. Good. I hope Savannah is aggravated by Jawan. She said she wants to throw him off a bridge. Awesome. Throw him off the bridge. Not literally. We need that, though. That's what Survivor is all about. That's what it's about. It's not about Christina saying, I love everybody. And Christina's fine on this season, but that's not what it's about. It is about, you're driving me nuts. And you know who's going to be really pissed at Jawan next week? Savannah, because Jawan just blew up her game. I love that. She's going to want to throw him off the Empire State Building next. That's great. Good TV. So if you think she's being a mean girl, let her be a mean girl. We need that on TV. Don't bully people off the internet by claiming they're a bully.
Survivor, mean girls. Yeah,
it's like, just stupid. It's like she's a bully, so I'm going to bully her out of existence. You're a loser if you do that. Don't do that. I'm not saying you can't say she's a mean girl. That's fine. Just don't bully her off the internet.
Yeah, I think we're doing that way. I think one final, not final. We got a lot of stuff still. I am perplexed, by the way, of why did they not, what is Jawan, what is Bottoms Up? Okay. But Bottoms Up is just laying down as everybody is doing this stuff. Do you think that's going to matter narratively of like, it was such a weird scene where I'm like almost thinking that the editors were like, we have to show this because it was so weird, but is it going to come up in a future tribal of like, I think you're lying to me because like you guys didn't even come hug us or something. Like, I'm just wondering why this was such a weird scene of your Survivor career. Have you seen something like this? Of it felt like clearly the wrong thing to do socially. And they were just like, we know it's wrong, but we're going to just do it because why would we be nice to them? And then Sage going, I can feel the fakeness coming already. And you're like, girl, there's no benefit of the doubt. Like, some of these people you've never met.
She didn't like him. She could tell by their face. I mean, here's the thing. She's not going to like Christina. Christina passed out, although she did meet Christina. Anyway.
Because she hasn't met Sophie B yet, and Sophie B is probably a shining star.
I think the reason that that scene was in there is because it's showing how these three are putting each other above everybody else. They don't care if it's the wrong side numbers, whatever it is. Like, these three are locked in. And I think the fact that tonight, Steven and MC didn't really
have a moment at all.
All that much. And that was a big storyline on the Hina tribe, pretty much the only storyline from the Hina tribe, makes me think that MC might be along for the ride, but Steven would probably rather play the game with the others. I'm going to throw up some compliments here. Tyler on Derry. I'm begging y'all to make Blake a regular for the Wednesday episode recaps. Y'all's chemistry is amazing. Blake's supposed to be here every Thursday. He just hasn't been. So he was going to be here tomorrow night, but now he's here tonight and Will's tomorrow night, but Blake will be here every other Thursday. He's stuck now. Saying Cliffo, love Blake, but we should also appreciate Phil. That's me. Every Wednesday night for years, power rankings, Patreon, consistent quality content and hard work. And then Patrick Stahl just jumping in saying Green Train. So we always appreciate super chats. Thank you all so much for throwing them in here tonight. We're not going to be mad about that.
Now we can get popcorn for next episode.
There you go. Wow, Blake. Wow. Get the Twizzlers out like Jeff did that one time. That'd be pretty cool. So, but you get what I'm saying with like where I'm trying to look at the pieces of the edit here. Sage, Jawan, and Steven. It feels like Jawan kind of found a home here, and him and Steven are tight.
Because I also thought it was interesting
that Steven and Alex didn't get back together here after they had killed the chicken previously. There was a lot going on in this episode, but I'm just surprised what they didn't show from the relationships that we did know. And to me, those omissions speak louder than what we actually heard tonight.
Is bottoms up the final three?
No.
Interesting. Because no. I think that's a we spent a lot of time at our most important episode. The merge is clearly where we set up all of our storylines. Bottoms up was a big part of it. If we don't think they're the final three, why not? Is it because we've been focusing on other stuff? Who is going to take these people out? And I think one other question I have is we have four Hina members. Let me do four here. Oh, get this finger out of there. Four. It's like, which one of these is closer to, like, what is Christina close to Sophie Yellow? Is Sophie Yellow with Steven? I don't know anything about that where it's like, I think in the crossfire of what's coming of Armageddon, are those going to be, are those kills that you're going to put on the side of your airplane and fly it over Final Tribal Council, are those going to be cool enough? Or is it just going to be like, Christina's making it to the end because you can't vote her out because we're saying everybody is a bigger threat than her.
Yeah.
That was a lot of questions.
Yeah. When you ask me, do I think it's the final three? No, because there's so much game left and there's now Sage and Jawan are firmly in the crosshairs. They are firmly being targeted and they're being targeted by a side that might not have the numbers, but certainly has things that they can do. So when I look at this, I say, hey, you might get two of those people in the final three. You might get one of them in the final three. Maybe they're three of the final six and the other side decides to turn on them. Personally, I think Sage is probably going home next week. As crazy as that sounds, I think based on what I saw tonight, she's going to be the one. It's not going to be Jawan. It's going to be Sage that Savannah is going after. And with Rizzo's idol and Sophie's knowledge is power, it would be her who ultimately gets hit here and knocked out of the game. But that doesn't mean that Steven and Jawan are done. And I honestly, when you look at, I'll look at confessionals here. Christina had a 2-0-0 and she only has 11 on the season. Sophie Segretti, we've barely heard from. She's only had one episode with no confessionals. She could be somebody who still goes very deep in the game. She's just not going to win, but she could absolutely be somebody. I want to be Alex's new Sophie. Why couldn't it be Alex, Sophie, Steven, Jawan, and MC as the final five of this season? Survivor 50. That's the only reason people are so convinced that can't be the final five.
I want to apologize for lying. I do remember what Alex said on this episode.
It was about DC.
It was about DC. He said, DC is all about... Oh, too bad he wasn't on the yellow tribe to start because he could have been like talking to the red tribe and talking to the blue tribe.
It's ironic feels like I'm back, he was on the blue tribe.
It feels like I'm back in Capitol Hill. It is something where, okay, Alex, this is a perfect, like, incorporate your job in this one, Alex. And gotcha, boss. I've done this for years. he did have a moment of my expertise on DC has been getting people to go across the aisle the whole time. I'm excited to do this. So I think it's not a complete goose egg for him, strategy-wise, confessional-wise. So maybe it's not as bad for him. I think he's going to be pivotal moving forward. But one thing I'm wondering is, why do you think Sage is going home? Do you think that because of 50, or do you think that from this episode?
No, I think that because of this episode. I think because she's the one Savannah's going to come after, I could see a situation. Right now, there's three people on the outs. If Sophie steals, or they could still find an idol because MC's idol's gone. So if they find the idol or something, they could have two idols for three people. That's a hard thing to take a shot at. They don't have the numbers to split the votes. They kind of have the numbers to split the votes, but that's still hard to pull off if there's two idols in play. Then again, if you are going into next week, 7-3, that's 4-3-3. You can split those votes, but you also have to be very sure that
we have an Operation Sicily, offshoot. And I think those are three people that I think could pull off an Operation Italy of like, who do we get one person to come across? I think it would be Alex, of like Sophie being like, okay, we didn't vote together, but we have to vote together for the rest of this time. And then Alex goes, okay. And maybe that's how they get through 10. Yeah. And maybe it's an idol that gets them through 9. And then, okay, we start the ball rolling. Yeah, I think that's something where I'm hoping this works out for them. Okay, let's do Philly and Blakey. So
let's throw this up. No, okay. We don't get to the Philly and Blake. Nick just does that all episode, and we'll do it at the end like we always do. Cody Brayman says this is a Rick Devins Jesse type edit for Savannah, Sophie, or Rizzo. I could see that a little bit. I also think though what's very interesting, and everybody knows I love these confessionals, right? Savannah has a 12 and an 11 right after the tribe swap. That's why she's leading the season with 42. Alex is second behind her. He has an 11 and a 10 from the first two episodes, and people are saying, who the hell is Alex? Sophie Bellarity's tied with Alex with 38. Rizzo only has 30, and 12 of those are in the first episode. Sage has 27. Hers have been more consistent. Jawan, 26, four episodes with five confessionals, much more consistent. Steven, 24, much more consistent. So I do feel like this hasn't been so rammed down your throat. Nobody's really pulling away. Who had the fewest confessionals tonight's episode, Blake?
Christina.
Nope. In tonight's episode, it was not Christina.
Was it Rizzo?
It was Rizzo and Alex tied with two.
Wow.
Yep. Rizzo and Alex tied with two. So again, that's where I'm saying Rizzo is doing things, and Rizzo has this idol, and Rizzo can make things happen even though he's on the wrong side of the numbers. I just don't see it working all the way to the end. I just don't. And look, if you're so sold on whatever 50 News means, then that's knowledge that we all have. And I can take that into account, and I could definitely skew my thinking, but I'm trying to just watch the episode that I'm watching. I don't see it for Rizzo right now. I just don't.
So if you're a finalist for 49, but you didn't get on, and you're going to be on 51, you're going to be on 52, or you're planning on trying to be on 53. The lesson you need to learn from this one, before hindsight is 2020 next week, what is the lesson you can learn? Don't vote out Nate. Vote out Savannah first. Because Nate, you can be, oh, let's work with it, or she's not such a firecracker. As soon as Rizzo goes, I'm going to play the idol on myself. I know we have hindsight 100-100, and I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
But go after figureheads first, because if Savannah goes, can Nate make it to the end and win? I think that would be a little bit harder for him. If Nate goes, can Savannah go to the end and win? She's the one who has the fire. She's the one who has... I feel like Savannah could win three immunities before the month is over. Like, maybe not month, maybe 2 months. But, like, I'm just trying to – this is why I think this person is focused on so much. I think Savannah's going to be important. So I think Savannah's going to get out of this hole. I don't think Nate would have gotten out of the hole if you vote out
Savannah. Think what was tough here is the people who were making the decision, Steven, Jawan, and Sage. Sage wanted to go for Savannah. But because Steven's name was the one coming up, there was no way he was going to let it be Savannah, knowing that Rizzo could play the idol for Savannah. I totally understand where his fear comes from here, because Steven's the one who potentially loses his game. And that's problematic. So yeah, I get why this happened. Here's what I want to say though. I do have a big problem with the 50 thing here, and especially airing it, because I think for me, this is almost Jeff's way of saying, you know, I fired them up. That's why they started playing aggressively. Let them play the season they were going to play. Because if these people are now coming out here saying, I'm playing to be on 50 in the post-merge, and we hear Sophie Bellarity has a confessional saying it, Steven has a confessional saying it, it's so inauthentic. If you're playing to play on 50, you're not playing to win this season, so I don't fucking care. It's stupid. It makes me mad. I know, I slipped, but it makes me really mad. This is how I talk to Blake on the phone all the time. But it really does. It frustrates me because playing Survivor to play again is why the show sucked in the 20s. Because people were just expecting to play again, and the show was terrible for six of the 10 seasons in the 20s, or whatever it was. And so you got to get away from that. And him harping on this so much, maybe it's making people make stupid moves so they can impress Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, look at me. That's dumb. That's dumb. That's not what I want Survivor to be. And so that's my biggest problem with this whole announcement thing. If he says it, great. Don't tell me you said it. But to say it as like a way to get them to play the game harder, do you not trust your cast to play the game hard enough? And also, that's not the reason Nate went home tonight. But I hate that that's going through all of their heads of, I want to be on 50. I want to be on 50. You should want to win Survivor 49. That's why you're here.
Okay, so thought experiment time. Phil, you are on Survivor 53.
I'm playing for 50.
Congratulations. 2 weeks in, people, your casting, not your casting producer, your story producer goes, all right, Phil, we're about to merge. Love what you're doing so far. Keep it up. We don't like to speculate about this stuff, but I think we need you to have better narrator things. I think we're going to use you a lot. By the way, 54 is the next All-Stars thing, and Jeff wants you to know you're one of like three people in contention from this season to be on it. I know that's a little bit different than what he just said to this cast, but could you keep your mind in, or would you go, oh, three people? Who are the two people I need to knock out to make sure I'm on the next season? That's... Or would you go, oh, I don't give a shit about that at all. Like, I want to win this season. I'm here on 53. I'm 2 weeks into this journey. There's only 2 weeks left. Why would I care about the next one when I still have $1 million on the table here?
And that's the thing. It becomes too manufactured. It's a game within a game within a game within a game. And that's what frustrates me. Like, I just want to watch the players play the game that they want to play. I don't want to watch them play the game Jeff wants them to play. Play the game you want to play. And so, like, MC playing her idol tonight. She's coming from the Phil school of play your idol. First time you have it, just get rid of it. That's the smart move, especially here at Emerge. Make sure you go to 10. Great. Love it, MC. Good job. If that's the game she wants to play, that's the game she's allowed to play. Let her play that game. Rizzo doesn't want to play his. Let him play that game. Don't start trying to manipulate so blatantly how they're going to play the game. We know that the story producers are sitting there asking questions, asking potentially leading questions. We know that's all there. But don't start so blatantly forcing that narrative and trying to skew the way it's played. It's one thing if it's coming from the players of, I want to make big moves like Sierra Easton back in Second Chance. But that's not what this was. Like, this is Jeff saying, this is where the game starts right now. If you don't make the merge, you're not a legend. It's like, okay, but you've like, tell that to Kelly Wentworth. Like, okay. There's plenty.
So that's a Hunter from Marquesas.
Yeah, well, I mean that. But it's just,
you can, like, go on after Survivor and sell flashlights.
That is true.
Don't let this kick flashlights down, guys. Too.
But it's like, you know, it starts now and you're gonna forge it. You could be one of the greats. I'm fine with giving that speech if you're trying to pump them up, but when you dangle the carrot of 50, now people are gonna start saying, wait, I could be on the biggest season in the show's history. Who cares about this season? I just got to make sure I'm one of the two people that's good enough to get over there. That's dumb. That's dumb. That ruins 49 for 50. You think it's good moves and stuff, but really, I think the drama was going to be here no matter what. And I think that's a short-sighted, Jeff's looking past 49. It's a stepping stone. Let's move on to 50 already. I'm over it.
I would start acting a fool in my confessionals.
Yeah, of course.
I would start being like,
I don't even remember this.
See your bitch ass out of here. I would just be literally saying all of that stuff. And I do think one simple explanation that I don't want to be true. I brought up 2 points earlier of why is it Rizzo? Why is it Savannah on 50 if they do lose before the end? Maybe Rizzo and Savannah are the by far the best personalities of what we're going to see over the next 3 weeks. And it is devastating when they go home, because when they go home, there's not a lot of personality around afterwards. And we see a final five of people that respect each other, love each other, and work together because of what they saw in 48 worked. And we just want to do it in 49. And then that's the worst case scenario. In my opinion, would be for Hina's and Alex make it to the end. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. And I say that worst case scenario as a entertainment perspective, as a we don't really know their stories and they aren't lighting the world on fire in their confessionals, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about this, right? So let's talk about the new era people. Jonathan Young, fourth place. D is first. Kyle's first. Emily was seventh. Q was sixth, right? Sixth for Q.
Of course Q was sixth, bro.
Tiffany was eighth. Charlie was second. Genevieve was fifth. Camilla was fourth. Joe was third. It's a wide range of placements. Even when you go back to Christian Ubicki, right? That's a pretty early boot considering how legendary his status became. And so what I'm just saying is, if Rizgod and Savannah are just electric for the next 2 weeks, that might be all it takes. Because if they just survive two episodes, that would be awesome. And I'm not saying that they can't win. I'm just saying I don't think they win. That's all I'm saying. I think Sophie Bellarity has a better chance than both of them right now. If Savannah wins, I'm not going to sit here floored. I'm not going to sit here shocked, right? There is writing on the wall here. There are hints. There are breadcrumbs. But I just think that there are other people with better chances right now. And so
it's so much cooler if the female Russell Hantz wins.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But that doesn't always happen.
Let's live in that world. Instead,
I would love that, but I don't want you to be right.
Instead of Savannah goes on two seasons, plays a very hard, aggressive games, and doesn't win either of them, I'd be like, that is a less cool world to live in than the female Russell Hantz says it at the beginning, has people calling her out for crazy eyes on episode Merge, and somehow still gets the end and is respected enough because Rizzo didn't really do anything.
And let me ask you this. If Savannah finished eighth, was she great TV? Confessional-wise, things she's saying, things she's doing?
I mean, I think I don't know about you guys. I think I've said since the beginning, like, Savannah feels like another step up than most of the cast.
And that's what I'm saying. Savannah doesn't need to win to be asked back for season 50. Savannah can finish eighth place, and she's on season 50. Because Savannah right now, from a difference... She dove for the keys, dude. Like MC said, she doesn't even know what they go to. And she dove for them because that's the level she's playing this game at. She's playing it at this, I'm okay being a little crazy. And I like that.
Thought experiment. What would you dive for that quickly in your real life if you were on Survivor? Or real life or Survivor? I don't think I would dive for something that quickly unless it's like my phone over a grate of like, you have to save it because it's going to fall into water, or like this is a button that if you hit, you get $1 million and all your ops die immediately.
If I was Alex diving for a crab last week, which somehow I didn't mention on either of my podcasts, which is just crazy. But
if in Survivor Sucks days, that would have been a gift that would go around for literally 30 years.
Forever. Yeah, forever. People are saying Savannah's a snooze fest. People don't like Savannah. People are out on Savannah. That's okay. You can be out on Savannah. I think Savannah, from a producer standpoint, she's giving you something that most people in the new era don't give. If you think about the people they did put on, Tiffany was willing to be a villain. Q was willing to be a villain. Emily was willing to be a villain. Like, Savannah fits it. Savannah fits it. So,
all right. Sound off in the comments. Does Savannah win or does she get eighth place?
Hey, I want to say this too. Like this video because we have like 30 likes and we have six times that watching right now. So go like the video. I don't know what you're all doing. Help us out. Help us out. And if you're on Spotify or something, like over there to whatever you do over there. Nick Snyder says Q is a hero, not a villain. Yes. Yes. Of course. Okay, so is the Joker. So really, because I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to podcast so many more times this week, but I want to ask you, since you're not going to podcast again, who do you think goes home next week?
I think I could literally tell you the first seven scenes of the next episode. Ready? Rizzo, open up. Darkness after tribal next to the fire. Rizzo, Savannah, Sophie. Whoa, we got. I don't know what we're going to do. R-I-Z-G-O-D. Oh, I should have told you guys. I have the knowledge is power. You have what? And then Savannah goes, we did not get got. Nate got. They got because they did not get us. And then everyone gets chills. And then we wake up. And Jawan takes Savannah's torch.
And she goes, on something.
Drop
until
that torch, man. That's mine.
Yeah.
No. And then Savannah starts the march of, hey, Alex, I'm a little bit wondering why there wasn't another vote. Why did you vote out Nate? Oh, interesting. Are you with that long term or is that a short term thing? And Alex goes, you know what? Maybe that's more short term. And then we go, well, who drove that? Who was after me? I think it was a thing after me, not Nate. And then they say one word. They go, it was Sage. Sage gone.
Okay, Sage gone. So you're on the same thing as me. All right. The Philly and the Blakey this week is only the Philly and the Willie. The Philly's the best player of the episode, and the Willie is the worst player of the episode, but the worst player cannot be the person who was voted out. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to give my Philly to... You want a drum roll, Nick Snyder? Can you hear me? Go on, drum roll it. You've been talking up Sage all night. I'm going to give it to Jawan.
Wow, Jawan wins both? Let's go!
I'm going to give it to Jawan, and here's my reason why. Jawan got the most information and did the most with that information to ultimately be able to pull this move off and have it so that Steven doesn't go home. He's got a better relationship with Steven than Sage does. I think he's got a better relationship with most of the people out there than Sage does, except for Savannah. And at this point, Savannah doesn't have that much power. And I think Savannah is also angrier at Sage than she is at Jawan. So if I think Sage is going to go home next week, Sage can't win the Philly. It's Jawan. He's better positioned moving forward. And he got what he wanted this episode. So that's what I got. Who's out the Blakey? Who had the worst of the episode?
I'm going to give the Blakey to Jawan.
No, you can't do that. It's not allowed.
Literally, it's the Blakey. It's not the Philly.
No, it's not allowed. Not allowed.
What are you talking about? For the first time in Survivor Specialist history,
not allowed.
Jawan is getting both the Blakey and the Philly.
Not allowed. JD Robinson says Sage sold the lie. Yeah, but Jawan was the one in the mix. Anyway, it can't be Jawan. Not letting you.
That's crazy. I think he played the worst this episode.
How did he play the worst this episode? He's on the right side of everything.
I think what I'm
trying
to say.
How did he play worse than Rizzo, Savannah, or Sophie Bellarity tonight?
You're right a little bit.
I'm right a lot.
But what I'm saying is I know Jawan said, I can't win with the Red Tribe if it's just us five. But I think there's a difference between setting yourself up of, ooh, Savannah's scary. Rizzo is too threatening. And having someone take that shot at like seven, at five. Whenever you figurehead it and you go, hey, four yellow people, vote with me. And you leave yourself open to, can I break into this yellow alliance? You guys are actually my people. Maybe the Red Tribe. I never really gelled with them, but Steven and I talked about Pokemon once. And Christina, I have a mom too. This is going to be great. MC, I thought about going to the gym, and you go to the gym all the time. This is perfect. Like, I do think he reminds me of Cochran, of my tribe wasn't great. So Juwan can win 54 when he comes back. But I don't think Juwan is winning 49. And I think he's going to have more haters than lovers on the tribe. I think they're going to be like, Juwan, we did our best, man. Like, you're kind of annoying to live with, but we did our best. And you just threw us out at the first possible time. What was this? Gila, or what is it? Uli Strong? What I do want to say is I can't give it to Nate. So I have to give it to one of the people on 50 or Sophie Bilardi, who you said.
Or MC. No, and here's the
you
thing.
You said in your head. You said in your head, I bet Sophie was actually on 50.
And I know why Blake is doing this now. It's because it's exactly what happened with Cochran. Blake hates Cochran.
Blake hates
to see Cochran succeed. Now he doesn't want Juwan to succeed because they're taking Blake's spot, and that makes Blake mad. Blake is jealous of Juwan, and that's why he's shitting on Juwan right now.
Here's what I'm actually saying. I just don't want to.
I
don't want Juwan to be stuck in the writer's room at CBS for Fire Country for the next 10 years. Okay. Let's have Juwan be able to be whatever he wants to be in his part of making short films or whatever. So I have to give it to not Nate, and I have to give it to somebody who was on the wrong side of the vote, because that's
or you give it to MC who JD says Savannah played the worst, making it so obvious she was against MC. MC played her idol for no reason and got caught. So I don't know. You could even say Juwan literally could not be in the bottom half of this episode, let alone last.
So I'll go ahead and I don't know, because MC, it is funny because we do the whole like, is it the best to play your idol right away? You gotta. And now it is the wrong decision. So I think she has the only mistake that is like, you should keep your idol and there were no votes for you. Then you have it again and you can do the whole thing again next time. But yeah, I guess I have to say, I don't want to give Savannah the worst player, but I think there is the layer of, did you go to Juwan and Sage and say, what happened to Shannon? And did you talk well enough? And you didn't. So this is why you lost your right-hand man. Mm-hmm. Rizzo is your left-hand man. I don't think this is the end of the war. I think Savannah could win this game, but this is a huge, do we get over it or do we get under it? What is it? Does it kill you or do you get over it? And I think she's a person that's going to get over it. I think she's a better player than about 8 other people, and there's only 10 people. So I'm excited to see what Savannah does. I think it's must-see TV of, we said bloodbath. I didn't believe this. I was kind of like, whatever. But I was going to give the Blakey to the, I thought it was a good thing. I guess it sucks that it's a bad thing. I was going to give it to the editors because I did not expect Nate was going home. So I could not be more excited to watch that fanfic come to fruition on Wednesday and see how Savannah gets out of this. Because I think if you're going to be on 50 from a season that hasn't even aired, you have to be the people that are slain instead of the ones that are dead.
So does she get the Blakey, though?
Savannah has the Blakey because she did not talk to Juwan and Sage long enough to see the intent. And it seems like she was surprised. She had to have been surprised. I don't want to say blindsided, but instead of going toe-to-toe of being a mastermind that never gets got, her side got this week.
Yep. Yeah,
Juwan gets it though.
No, but again, that's it's a week to week thing. You can have a bad episode and still win. Adam Klein was eating gummy bears or whatever. Says he never ate any, but you know, he's eating gummy bears with Taylor. How'd that work? So it can happen. Anything we missed?
Has anybody ever won the best player and the worst player in the same week? Besides Cochran? Probably Cochran that one time. Yeah.
Cochran and Joe Hunter, because everybody has to hate Joe too for some reason. Anyway. Anything else in this episode? I feel like we did such a good job.
I do want to say I really enjoyed this episode. There's other episodes that I haven't enjoyed of 49, So I think we're trending in the right direction. I think merge episode is always my favorite. It does feel like we are done with, or are we, is this an outlier of 49? It said there were three swaps. Somebody said there was three swaps. I'm like, I don't think that math made sense, but okay. But it was like, we're not earning the merge. We didn't split up into two groups and do a double tribal. And look, there was a 11 people voted and somebody got. Mm-hmm. And I think that's way cooler than watching two people that are in a minority go home of, oh, Christina, oh, Steven, were both in a tribe where they didn't have numbers and they went home.
Like, and this is
so cooler when there's 11 people voting.
This is why more people need to be voting at more tribal councils, because less voting does not actually create more drama. More voting often does, especially when you're getting this many mix-ups. So many people have played together. 11 people voting is so much better than 5-5 or 4-4 or something like that. This is so much better. And it's great to see a big vote this early on. And I hope we don't split again. I really do. This is what we need. That's how Savannah and Rizzo survived this. At final 10, they split into two groups of five.
Oh, shit. Black merge buffs. When's the last time there was black merge buffs?
Don't know, but it's cool. I always like a good black merge buff.
Is this the best top five merge buff of the new era?
No, not answer. No, I don't know. Who the hell knows? Patrick Stahl here saying Sophie has yet to be vulnerable. It's good to know. She has not been vulnerable.
Dude, Patrick's watching. Does she go home the first tribal she can? That is what I would love to end on, is if I'm Sophie Blue Bellarity. Sophie Blue Laerty, if you looked at what they said in chat earlier, if I'm Sophie Blue Laerty and it's day 14 and it's the merge of 11 people are voting and Jeff goes, some of you guys don't have a torch yet. Go grab your torch and get fire. Fire is your life. When it's gone, you're gone. And I did that shit 2 weeks ago for the first time. I'm voting out every single one of you bitches that just got your torch just now, because you have not played the same game I have, and I'm going to make you pay for it.
Yeah,
that's a storyline. I would love to see Sophie say the same shit I just said.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Somebody else, I forget who it was, but they tweeted like, I would vote out as a player. They said I would vote out Sophie just for making them change my name to Soph. That's enough reason to vote out Sophie. Like, I love that. But all right. That's it. I'll have my after show tomorrow over on Patreon. I'll give updates for the other games, like prop bet and everything like that. I got to check out on Nate. I'm bummed Nate's gone. Nate was a good casting choice. Nothing really he could have done here. He tried to do the best he could. He was just on the wrong side of the
What if he gets snapped back next week and it's a Marvel twist?
Whoa. There you go.
I feel good, Mr. Stark. I'm back.
Anyway, Nate goes home. It's a bummer, but that was a lot to talk about in this episode, so we didn't get to talk too much about Nate, but it was a good merge, so that was nice. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m., I will be live with Will and James Jones from Survivor 43. We will be digging deeper into the episode. You're out, Blake, which is nice. I need a little bit of a break from Blake after this, so that's good. On Sunday at 11 a.m., I will be joined by Bryce Isaiah. So that's exciting. I'm very happy to have him back on the podcast. And then on Monday at 8:30 p.m., Annika will be joining Tegwith for Matt Chat. So we got three guests coming up, three podcasts coming up. John and McKenna are going to be doing Survivor Rewind tomorrow night. McKenna and Kyle will be recapping The Amazing Race if you've been following along with that. Patreon.com/specialist. Survivor Philippines coverage starts tomorrow. We are out of the dark ages, so if you want to become a patron and you want to hear us talk about good seasons of Survivor and you get access to the backlog, go ahead and check out our Patreon. Survivor Philippines for Every Season Matters starts tomorrow. AU coverage, Q&A, my after show. We got movie stuff that we're talking about. It's Noirvember. Casting episode where Blake talked a lot about Michael Yerger's body. And we had Survivor Rock Draw, which always comes out. So plenty going over on the Patreon. And that's it. That's it. I'm glad you all stuck with us. Let us know what you thought about the episode, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
See ya.
Nice.